Reverend Noah Garden Schwartz, February 25th, 2018, Rabbinic Authority, Prophetic Prerogative, and the Controversy over Takanat Mikra Megillah. Whenever.
It's just Ray Adler, my parents. Thank you, everybody, for coming. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be here with you, and hopefully my share will justify the provocative title, the controversy over Takanat Mikra Megillah. So the point of departure for the topic is the source, number one, the Gemara Megillah on Yudal Amun Aleph, where the Gemara presents the following discussion. Tana Rabbanan, the Rabbanan taught, they Arbaim v'shmanan neviim v'sheva neviyos nisabu lehem Yisrael. There were 48 neviim and 7 neviyot that prophesied for the nation, for Klal Yisrael. this represents a collective leadership from Avram all the way until Malachi or Mordechai. Lo pichasu v'lo hasiru al mashakasu b'Torah. And they had neither subtracted nor had they added anything to the Torah. Chutzim Mikra Megillah, until it came to Mikra Megillah. Apparently, Mikra Megillah is considered to be the first addition to Torah. My Darush. So the Gemara asks, and what are they Darshan? Sounds like the Gemara is saying it wasn't just because that there had never been an addition or subtraction. This is something that is not at all obviously possible. It's not clear that it's valid, and therefore they needed to have some sort of license. They needed to have some sort of justification. They had to Darshan something. What did they Darshan? Where did they get it from that this was something they could do? Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. So it represents that it's a kavachomer. Mam me avdu secherus amrina shira. If when it came to Yitzias Yisrael, the salvation from being slaves, from bondage, amrina shira. Nonetheless, we said we responded with shira. According to Moshe Shonim, what this is referring to is as yashir. There are some who believe that what is being referred to here with amrina shira is the chiya of sipor Yitzias Yisrael. But either way, we see from Yitzias Yisrael that a salvation, which is merely from bondage, is nonetheless enough to justify and to warrant saying praise, responding with gratitude. Mimisa l'chaim l'koshikain, so is it not even more apparent that this is warranted in the case of Purim, where we were saved, our very physical existence was at stake, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered us our salvation, and therefore, isn't it clear that we need an expression of gratitude in this case? That was the justification for Mikra Megillah. Several things require analysis in this Gemara, and that's what I hope to discuss. First, just we have to identify what is it that the Gemara is saying about Mikra Megillah that it's considered a Hosafa Mashakasa B'Torah. Just what does that mean? Second, and this is the bulk of the discussion, what was the problem? Why did they need a drasha? The Gemara implies that, as I said, that they needed a license in order to be able to implement this halacha. What was it that stood in their way? Why do they need a heter, a license? and then we'll discuss the nature of that license as well. What did they get from this kavachomer? So first, just what does it mean when the Gemara says that this is the first time Hosifa Mashakasu B'Torah, Hosiru Mashakasu B'Torah? This is not the first Din D'Rabbanan. This is not the first norm that was initiated post-Matan Torah. The Gemara, for instance, in Shabbos, attributes several of the tekanos to Shlomo HaMelech, one of them being Erevin, right? The prohibition to carry, even within an enclosed domain, from private property to private property, or from private property to communal property, even though all of it's within Rosh Hashanah Min HaTorah, that was at the Kana of Shlomo. Similarly, the requirement for Netilas Adayim before contacting Kachim. This is all something that we had way before, much earlier than Mikra Megillah. So what does it mean that this is the first Hosafa Amashkasu B'Torah? So here I think we find several different approaches. We can identify three. The first is something that the Ron suggests, and we'll see over the course of this year that there are other Shonim who believe this as well, that what is intended here is that it is true that this is not the first Din D'Rabbanan. However, this is the first of a specific kind of Din D'Rabbanan. Take a look at the Ron, source number 3. Shelo siru me'olam mitzvah bifnei atzman legamre elazo. This is the first time... This is the first time that they implemented or they legislated an entirely new mitzvah. Sha'av bisha yesh kama takanos v'isurin d'rabanan. Even though there were prior takanos v'isurin, hasam hanu siyag l'torah l'mitzvah o geder l'avera. Those were all simply those dinim, those norms were all intended to simply ensure compliance with those mitzvos of Torah. They were either by broadening the scope of those mitzvos or just by setting up protective measures, but they were all intended to facilitate abiding by and compliance with the mitzvah shel Torah. Here, when it comes to Mikra Megillah, we have the first takana, which is not at all, doesn't have its sights set at any of the other mitzvahs. It's simply a new mitzvah. It's simply a separate, independent mitzvah, if you will, the 614th mitzvah. So that's the suggestion of the Ran. We'll see others like the Ramban adopt this as well. If you look, I just included in the course, just for your own reading, how Erev and Nitzas Zayim in particular are Gedarim to mitzvah shel Torah. The second possibility that we find, I think, is what emerges from the simple reading of the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi has a parallel account of what we find in the Gemara in Megillah and Daf Yudalad, with a slight difference. The Gemara there presents Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachum b'Shem Rabbi Yonosan Shmonim v'Chamisha Zekenim Mehem Shloshim v'Kama Neviim Hayu Mitzdarin al Davar Zed. The rabbinic leadership of that generation, of the generation of Mordechai v'Esther, they were pained, they were anguished by the Mikra Megillah, by this suggestion of Mikra Megillah. Amru, why? They explain. Ksiv, Eila HaMitzvos Asher Tzivah Hashem Es Moshe. At the end of Vayikra, there's a pasuk. Eila HaMitzvos, these are the mitzvos that Hashem commanded. Eila HaMitzvos Shenitzavinu Moshe. These are the mitzvos, those that which are commanded and delivered through Moshe. The Kach Amar Lan Moshe. Moshe himself explained to us, Eina V'Yacher Asid L'Chadesh Hachem Davar Me'ata. There will be no further chiddush, no further introduction of a law via prophecy, via any other navi. That's the source of the citation at the top of the title. And Mordechai and Esther here, they want to introduce something new. And the Gemara presents, the Yerushalmi presents that they had a discussion about it, and finally they found Makarish Baruch Hu helped them see the wisdom of Mordechai and Esther's desires here. So without getting into, and that's something we'll discuss soon, but without getting into at the moment, the question of what is the basis and the principle, how do we understand this principle of a Navi Rashai the Chadish Davar Me'ata, that a Navi is not able, is not allowed to introduce anything new. But what's clear is that what it has to do with is not necessarily the person, the Gavra of a Navi, being part of a Bezin, let's say, and introducing a Din. He can do that. Speaks specifically of the ability of a Navi to introduce something via prophecy, via the deliverance of the prophetic divine message that has been delivered to him. This is something that the Rashash argues, and if you notice, he argues this in the context of the Bible. In other words, he incorporates this explanation that we have in the Yerushalmi, that the problem here was a Navi Rashash Chadash Dover Me'ata, so the Rash integrates this into the Bavli, the Rashash rather. Source number 7. The Ratz Alomar Api Nivua. Right, a Navi cannot Api Nivua, so cannot as the deliverer of the divine message introduce something new. But of course, a Navi, if he Naviim were in general the peak of humanity, if you might. If you can describe it like that, so the way the Rambam envisions them as being sort of highly ethical, moral, intellectual, sort of the peak of the human of humanity. So they were certainly chachamim, but as chachamim they could sit on a basin, they could be mitakin and goes there just like anybody else. But what's different here is that we're talking about api nevuah, through their nevuah. Lachen ka'amar mikra megillah mibnei shenemra b'ruach hakodesh shehimei nevuah. And therefore, the issue was specifically mikra megillah, because what was unique about mikra megillah is that it was initiated, it was implemented, the chiyuv, with ruach hakodesh. So that what Hosir HaMashakas of the Torah means is they didn't introduce anything via prophecy. It's the medium. They didn't introduce anything as a nevuah subsequent to Torah. Torah, of course, is nevuah. It's all divine message, divine words from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Subsequent to that, this is the first time there was anything in addition coming from heaven, so to speak. Now, the assumption that this mitzvah was introduced via Nevuah, so it's not entirely self-evident what that means. Presumably and this is what the Rashash sounds like he's saying, presumably what this refers to is the fact that the mitzvah is spoken of in the Navi itself, in Megillah itself. Megillah says there, in Perek Tes, Pasuk Chav Ches, the pasuk says, "Va'yamim ha'elin niskarim v'nasim b'chol dor v'dor." So these days, Yidal Tesvav, these are to be remembered and to be implemented every generation. So Chazal understand that Nizkarim here, to evoke the day, to remember the day, refers specifically to Mikra Megillah, and this is referring to the Chiyuv, therefore, of Mikra Megillah. And inasmuch as Megillah's Esther was written Beruach HaKodesh, which is a kind of a form of Nebuah, so that would then mean that this mitzvah, this mitzvah is being introduced via prophecy, via Ruach HaKodesh. However, I don't think that this is all that obvious. If you look at the Gemara Megillah on Daf Bezman Beis, so the Gemara clearly understood that the Chiyuv is not based necessarily on a Pasuk, seemingly, but rather it's simply a Takana Derabanan. This is something that the Gemara mentions in the context of asking that we had these certain days where we would prepone Megillah, have it earlier than Yudal Tesvav, depending on where it fell in the week. And the Gemara queries, where is it that we get this ability to prepone the Mikra Megillah, to read it earlier than Yudal Tesvav? Who did that? Who implemented that halacha, that reversal of the Yudal Tesvav? And the Gemara says, it must have been Anshe Knesses HaGadola. Kulu Anshe Knesses HaGadola Tikninu. It has to be the Tekan of Anshe Knesses HaGadola. Why? Diyisag Adaitach Anshe Knesses HaGadola Arba'asar V'chamisha Asar Takun Asu Rabbanan V'akri Tekanta Tikninu Anshe Knesses HaGadola. Because if it had been the case that Yudal and Tesvav, those were legislated by Anshe Knesses HaGadola, that was a Tekan of them, of their Bezin, and it was only a subsequent Bezin that revoked that somewhat and said on certain days you read it on your base earlier than Yudal and Tesvav. If that had been the case, that would have been that they wouldn't have had the authority to do that, because we have a general principle of Atanan. Ain't Bezin Yachol Levatal Dibri Bezin Chavero Elam Kein Gadol Mimenu B'Chachma V'Minyan. Because a subsequent Bezin, cannot revoke an earlier Bezin statute unless they have greater authority. And obviously, there was no subsequent Bezin that had greater authority than Anshe Knesses HaGadolah. Therefore, they would not have been in a position to limit the initial Takana. Elabshita, kulhu Anshe Knesses HaGadolah Takinu. Rather, it's obvious that all of these days, all the entire schedule of Mikra Megillah, they were all established as part of the initial Takana's Bezin of Anshe Knesses HaGadolah in being Mechayev Mikra Megillah. So it's clear from the Gemara, it seems, that this is in fact a Takanas Bezin. In terms of the Pasuk, so the truth is that if you read the Psukim, it seems quite likely that the Pasuk here, we can interpret it, is it's not being Mechayev in this Pasuk, it's not introducing this Chiyuv of Zechira in Pasuk Chavches, rather. Rather, it is simply reporting upon the contents of a chiyuv that we became obligated in by other means, namely by the means of a takana derabana. In fact, the way the Ramban in his Chidushim in Megillah reads this, the pasuk in Chaf, Vayichdo Mordechai said Dvarim Ha'elo, the Igeres Harshona, Vayichdo Mordechai said Dvarim Ha'elo, Vishach Svarim Ha'kol Yudim, that and the content of which is Lekayem Aleim Liyos Osim Es Yom Arba Asal Chodesh Adar Ves Yom Chamisha Asabo. So that is the chiyuv that Mordechai there is writing as the one of the members of the Anshe Knesses HaGadolah. That is the promulgation of the Takanas Bezin to read and to observe Purim and to read Megillah every year. The pasuk in Chavches Vayamim Ha'elin Iskar V'Nasim Chol Dovador. So that sounds like it's just them reporting on the content of that Takana. What does it mean? The Kayeim Aleim. It means this is what they that was involved in that Takana to be Niskar V'Nasim Chol Dovador. In which case, this is not at all a mitzvah which is introduced via Ruach Kodesh. So how do we understand this suggestion? So one could have thought that maybe this is just simply a machlokes. You have the Yerushalmi who thinks that the makor for this mitzvah is Ruach HaKodesh, is Nevuah, it's the Pasuk. And the Bavli disagrees. The Bavli thinks it's simply a Takanas Bezin. The Pasuk is just reporting at Takanas Bezin. But that's not so obvious either. If you look at the Ramban al Torah, he just, in a different context entirely, mentions that you can have a Navi come and say that we're all mitzvah now, because Rabbi told me to deliver this message, we all are obligated to do such and such, to do some mitzvah, and he gives the example, Kigon Shehayah in Mikra Megillah. Just like it happened in Mikra Megillah. So the Ramban clearly understood that even within the Bavli it's possible to say that this is indeed a mitzvah, Hanischat al-Yidin Nevuah. So I think that there are two possibilities we might consider in terms of just understanding. Yes.
When Ramban writes that in 10,
yes.
Differentiating between the Raisa or the Ramban.
No, he's discussing the case of a Navi Sheker. So he says, let's say a Navi comes along and gives us a mitzvah,
yeah.
And he says, "Kigon Shehayah b'Mikra Megillah." So that's just an example of a Navi coming to introduce a mitzvah, and he says, and if it's something, if it's within certain parameters.
Is Ramban making a comment,
mm-hmm.
or is he ignoring the point? There's a difference, it would seem to me.
Mm-hmm.
Chin Navi saying, I've got a new mitzvah that's to be regarded as a mitzvah of Ramban,
mm-hmm.
in addition.
Yeah.
He's saying it was a new mitzvah, it's the Raisa.
He's not addressing that issue at all. We'll discuss that.
Okay.
We'll discuss that later. The point I'm just making now is that the Ramban clearly did see this as a chiddush of a Navi as per his nevuah. That the Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, this is what we need to do now. So I think there are two possibilities in terms of squaring this with the Yerushalmi. The first is, perhaps, the idea is that really the source of the chiyuv really is that pasuk in Chav Ches, Vayem Ma'elu Niskar Minasim. And as for the Gemara, that it's considered the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, perhaps... we might say that if the Anshei Knesset Gedolah had thought that this was something which was inappropriate, they could have suppressed Mikra Megillah. They didn't have to affirm it, they didn't have to accept it in the canon, they didn't have to repeat the fact that there is a chiyuv. So they acquiesced, they conceded this is correct, we have a chiyuv. By accepting it the canon, by permitting it, and by acknowledging the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, so you might say perhaps that very acknowledgement, after the fact even, that constitutes giving it their imprimatur. That constitutes having their gushpanka on it. So now it's considered to be something with sort of carries the authority of a takanas bezin of Anshei Knesset Gedolah, even though the initial chiyuv wasn't stipulated as a chiyuv bezin. It was stipulated as a chiyuv in the Megillah. It's the Anshei Knesset Gedolah when they accepted it that gave it that stature of a takanas Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Maybe that's one possibility. One second. Alternatively, perhaps the nevuah that we're referring to here, although I don't know if this is the Rashash, but perhaps the nevuah that's being referred to here, that the mitzvah was given by Ruach Kodesh, or was delivered by Ruach Kodesh, first, not to the Pasuk. In fact, the Chiyuv is a Chiyuv Bezin. What we're speaking of here, when we talk about the nevuah, the Ruach Kodesh, is what is sort of what was working behind the scenes. What impelled the Bezin to move and to initiate and to legislate this Takana was something that they saw by Ruach Kodesh. This was an appropriate measure. It was acted upon by Vayichav Mordechai Sedver Me'ela, but what we're talking about then is the Nevuah, which is sort of unspoken, unwritten, behind the scenes, impelling them to move forward and to be metaken in this Takana. So it isn't Takana Anshei Knesset Gedolah, and yet it also would be considered a mitzvah sort of introduced, which has its roots in Nevuah. So I think that's another possibility. If you look at the Ramban, source number 11, which I don't have time to get into, but I think that's consistent with what he's saying there. Yes?
Who's Nevuah?
The author's...
Is it Nevuah or
yeah.
the...
Or both, or maybe it's yeah. So I think so. The truth is that gets into the question: who wrote the Megillah? So the Gemara in Bavasra says it was Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Other Gemaras apply Mordechai and Esther. It's not really necessarily such a contradiction. Mordechai was one of the members of the Bezin. So, but one way or the other, yes. Whoever was that either came forward with the initial. If I'm reading Yerushalmi, I think what I respond is that was initially Mordechai and Esther pushing Anshei Knesset Gedolah to implement this takana, to make this takana. So perhaps you would say they were the ones, Mordechai Vesser, who had that initial Ruach HaKodesh, and then their job was to try to then have it be implemented through a takana's bezdin. Within the Bible, I'm not sure you have to say that, but I think that's those are both possibilities. Okay. And then finally, the third approach, which is just an interesting one, is what we find in Shai Detrani, Tosos Rid, in this Piskei Arid, where he suggests as follows, that the chiddush of nevuah, it's not that it was introducing a new mitzvah, it was the first time there was added a new mitzvah, or that it was the first time something was added via nevuah, but rather, there's something very particular about the Takanas Mikra Megillah. It involves, as I write here, placing an additional text on a par with Chumshei Torah. The way that the Rid explains this, Perish lo Sivu Torah Yisrael, what the Gemara means when it says, Hosira Mashakasa B'Torah, Perish lo Sivu Torah Yisrael, Shehu Korimba. This is the first time that there was ever an additional text that we are now required to read, to read and to learn. Mikra Megillah Nirash Hosifu al Torah Shekavu aleim Chova b'Kriyasa Kimo Shechayvin leKrosas Torah Shenemar v'Gisa b'Yomam V'Lada. Till then, we had one text, the Sefer Torah, Chamisha Chosha Torah, which we had a requirement, an obligation to delve into, to read v'Gisa b'Yomam V'Lada. Now, the Mikra Megillah, this is a Hosaf al Torah. What does it mean? It means that there's a new text that now we have a Chiyuv to read. In addition to Chamisha Chosha Torah, put it aside for a moment, you have a Chiyuv to read an additional text, Mikra Megillah, Megillah Esther. So that's sort of placing it on a par with Chamisha Chosha Torah in a way that had never been done before. Yes?
When you talk about the Chiyuv to read the Megillah, he's talking about what's in the Ruach on the Megillah.
Yeah, so the Takanos, the other Megillos that we read, those are a much later practice developed probably from times of the Gaonim, and it's listed in Masechet Sofrim. So it's an early Gaonic tradition, but that's a much later development. As is Haftarah, by the way. Haftarah also is something that is the kind of, not exactly sure when, but it's prior to the Mishnah, but it's much later than this. This was the first time that there was a chiyuv to be korei in addition to something other than just Torah.
There's another difference.
Yes?
Megillas Esther is the only one that requires a clock.
Right, so that's the next thing I was going to get to. Right, I think this is similar, the Brit that is similar, it's all within the same kind of idea, to the Sefer Batin, to Rabbeinu David HaKochavi, who's a contemporary of the Meiri in Provence, who says, Amnam HaKavana Bo, meaning the Gemara, Shalo Gazur Davar Velo Tiknu Davar Shei Kasev Shenireh Kitoseves Al Divrei Torah Rak Megillas Esther. That along with this Takana Mikra Megillah, we have now a physical object that it is necessary to write, and it's necessary to write it in a way that resembles a Sefer Torah, exactly what you're saying. And I think what he means here is the Rambam codifies in Hilchos Megillah, En Kosen HaMegillah, Ela B'Dio, Alak Vil, Alak Klaf, Sefer Torah. This is the first time we have something required to be written in parchment, or different kinds of parchment, with Dio, with black ink, V'tzricha Sirtut Ketorah Atzma. It requires the inscribed lines in the parchment, just like Sefer Torah. V'Ein Etferes, Ela B'Gidin, Ketorah Torah. The entire physical object of the Megillah is clearly modeled upon Sefer Torah. It's Kamita Shatora, actually, the Gemara as the phrase. So this is the first time now we have a requirement to have an additional text which is actually modeled on the Sefer Torah. The truth is that this, yeah, I don't want to get into whether or not this is let's leave it at that. There is a machlokas Rishonim about whether or not other Kisvei Kodesh requires klaf, and one can wonder whether or not this is valid according to them too, but we'll leave it at that for now. But either way, it's another element, another way in which the Takanas Mikra Megillah elevates an additional text upon a par with Chamesh Chumashi Torah. And finally, I think you can add to this perhaps the famous Rambam, which I'm not going to get into, but the Rambam very astonishingly, based on his understanding of Yerushalmi, notes that he believes that he's poskening that in the future, in Yemos Mashiach, all other parts of the canon will be batal, will become annulled. What this means, presumably, is that the other Sifrei Nevi'im and Sifrei Ksuvim will lose their status, the objects will lose their stature as Kisvei HaKodesh, for all the halachos that are relevant for that, that is relevant to. Except, he says, for Megillas Esther, which is Kayemes, Kechamisha Chumshei Torah, Ukechosor Shabal Peh, that is not batal le'olam, and without getting into it, I think it's possible that the reason for that is simply because of the chi of Mikra Megillah, along with the chi of to be koreit, it has a sort of a justification for its continued use and for its continued relevance, in which case it's eternally considered part of the canon. And if that's true, then this too is another way in which Takanas Mikra Megillah places a text on a par with Chumash Mishnah Torah. Now this is an additional component, and the only additional component of the eternal canon. Okay, so just to summarize, we have three views of what does it mean that Mikra Megillah is a sifu amashikasa b'Torah. One, it's the first time there's an additional mitzvah, an independent mitzvah. Two, it is the first time that there is, subsequent to Torah, that there is something introduced via nevuah. And three, it's the first time that there is the elevation, there is the addition of a text on a par with Kumshir Torah. So now we get to the main question, which is what is the problem with this Hosafa Amashikasa B'Torah? Why did they need to be Doresh? Why did they need a license to do this? And here we have to consider, according to each of the views, regarding what it was that Hosafa means. So let's first start now with the view of the Ran, that referring to the idea that this is the first time there's a new independent mitzvah that is being introduced. What is the problem? Why would they need to have darshaned in order to proceed with that? Excuse me. So, here, famously, the Raman suggests that the addition of an independent mitzvah is a prohibition of Bal Tosif. The pasuk in two places, in Parshas Veschanan, Lo Sosivu Adav Asher Nochi Mitzvah Veschem, Lo Sogrumi Menu, and in the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, it's called Adav Asher Nochi Mitzvah Veschem, in two places the Torah says, do not add and do not subtract to this, to the Torah. And Ramban in source number 18 suggests that what this has to do with is precisely our topic. Somebody who invents their own mitzvah, Kigon she'asal chag b'chodesh shabadam elibo ki Yeravam, he quotes the pasuk that Yeravam established a new holiday. He invented this new holiday over Balav. Somebody who does such a thing is in violation of this iser bal tosif. V'chach amru, and he quotes our gemara le'inyan mikra megillah may have shvanim neviim v'chule. And he quotes Yerushalmi shvanim b'chamisha zakenim v'chule. So he explains both of them required this license. So he says haresha haisa mitzvah zo asur lahem. The problem here was that this is in fact prohibited. And therefore, to do this, to initiate Mikra Megillah, was actually in violation of the Isser Bal Tosif. In Kaini, Bechlal Lo Sosif Alav. That's because it's Bechlal, it's within the parameters of the Isser Lo Lohosif. And then the Ramban acknowledges, so you could have said, then, okay, that's a good explanation for the Yerushalmi, for the Bavli. But the Yerushalmi clearly has it that the problem has to do with just, not necessarily the substance as an addition, but just the fact that it's Aydin Nevuah. The Nevuah is the problem, not the nature of the addition. So the Ramban doesn't agree with that. He thinks that even the Yerushalmi is going with his understanding of it. But he explains, Ela shalom lemandu lemosif al pinavi ela min akasa she'amar ela mitzos in aver shayla chadash aver me'ata. What the Yerushalmi is saying is just that don't think that this is that you avoid this problem if it's al yidei nevuah. It's not that the nevuah is the problem. It's that what could have been a solution, namely, oh, that's if we're coming to invent it. But if it's al yidei nevuah, it's not bada melibo. It's bada me'akash baruchu. So I could have thought that a Navi is not over on Bal Tosif. Says the Yerushalmi, according to the Ramban, that isn't the case. Ela mitzvos that speaks specifically to Nevuah, so that even a Navi would be over on Bal Tosif. It doesn't save you if this is Aliyei Nevuah. But the basic problem is that you cannot introduce a new mitzvah chadasha. And says the Ramban, however, this is specifically, and this is where you see that he's aligned with the Ran on this point, but that which is there only as a safeguard, as a measure to protect against the violation of Torah. Okay, we'll get to that after. So the Ramban here suggests that this is a problem of Bal Tosif. Introducing a new mitzvah violates the Yisr of Bal Tosif, and therefore they needed to have a drasha. We'll get back to what the heter was. But that's the Ramban's opinion. Now this is an enormous chiddush within the world of the Yisr Bal Tosif. And I hope to show how that is. First of all, the very fact that there is an Isser Bal Tosif that one violates by pronouncing law, by legislating, that is not at all self-evident. And from the Chazal, you wouldn't think that's true. From Chazal, the cases that you have in Chazal where the Gemara discusses, Gemaras and Midrashim discuss violation of Bal Tosif, they all have to do, without exception, depending on how you interpret one, maybe there's one exception, but most don't interpret it that way. Without exception, they have to do with violating idea siya, by performing a mitzvah. So one can violate Bal Tosif if you add elements into that mitzvah which aren't commanded. So for instance, the Sifrei quotes this pasuk and explains, minayin she'ein mosifim al alua val atzitzis tamal lomar lo sasif alav. How do I know that you're not allowed to take, let's say, a fifth min, so take an olive branch and add it into your lua of an esrog? So that's because of Bal Tosif. That would be Bal Tosif. If one were to pick up his lulav and esrog, and in addition add an olive branch, that would be a violation of Bal Tosif. Also, they're not allowed to add chutim betzitzis. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah speaks of a case of duchening, where a person, a kohen, adds a fourth bracha. He particularly likes the congregation, so he says, you know what, I'm going to add one on my own. That too is a violation of the Isser of Bal Tosif. But this is all you find in the Gemara. There's some other cases, but they all have to do with something similar, namely a person who's implementing a mitzvah, and he does it, and he adds elements to it that aren't commanded. That's what Bal Tosif is. Yes?
I don't want to walk through that well, but a vague recollection of what Rabban did is he took, I think it was Sukkot, and pushed it back a month.
Right.
So he wasn't just creating a new holiday.
Right.
He was getting rid of an old one.
Right.
So the whole analysis, it doesn't really work.
Well, I'm not sure if it doesn't. I mean, the Ramban is the Ramban.
In terms of Yerubba.
What he's suggesting, I think, is that whether or not maybe there was also an Avera Baltigra then, the fact that he was in a sense deleting Sukkot, but what the Ramban just quoting as an example is the fact that he introduced a new holiday. He was now making it one month earlier. Tesvav, that holiday was now that month now a holiday, a chag that we had to celebrate. So that was the part which the Ramban is saying. That's an example of Bal Tosif. Maybe the fact that you don't have Sukkot anymore is also deleting. Maybe that would be Bal Tigra too.
It's not
but,
like you did two things. This was all part of one thing.
Right, but I think the Ramban, I mean, again, you could have said what you're saying. The Ramban, I think what the Ramban is saying is just the introduction of that new holiday in the month beforehand That would be already Baal Tosef. That's just his example. And he cites other examples. Mikra Megillah, for instance, in his opinion, Mikra Megillah, this is what the issue of the Gemara was. He was just citing as an example. And presumably, you're right, presumably for him the relevant point is that you're introducing something new on a Chodesh, which doesn't have a Chag, now you're saying celebrate that day. That itself is Baal Tosef. The fact that he's deleting Sukkot, so that's an additional point. Maybe that would be Baal Tigra. But what's relevant for him there is simply the introduction of the new Chag.
That could have been, I think you're saying, that could have been Mishkan in the context of saying this is really just the date. And so
right.
So you're saying it like the fifth, you know, fifth min and lula, the same thing, by changing the date, is it something new?
Right. Right. Maybe. I mean, the Ramban is citing this as the precedent, you know, just historically that you have for something like Mikra Megillah being problematic. So I think the idea, the way the Ramban is seeing this is, let's ignore the Yeruvim point. The way the Ramban is understanding this mitzvah is that it forbids, let's just say Mikra Megillah, it forbids the introduction of a new mitzvah. Why you could have thought maybe what Yeruvim was different, the Ramban wasn't addressing. He was just saying the introduction of a new mitzvah like Mikra Megillah, that would be something which is in violation of Baal Tosef. But what I was saying from the Gemara was just that if you look at the Gemaras and you look at the Midrashim, you don't see that you violate, that there's ever such a notion of violating Baal Tosef by pronouncing halacha, you know, by adding halacha. We violate Baal Tosef by doing a mitzvah and adding elements within that mitzvah, not by, that's referring to every single individual, not by a rabbinic body, let's say, introducing a new law. That wouldn't be Baal Tosef. However, the Ramban on this point is not alone. The Rambam too already does believe there is a notion of Baal Tosef Behora, that a Bezin can be in violation of this Isser Baal Tosef simply by introducing a law. However, it's significantly different from the Ramban. The Rambam says, Ho Vieshel Bezin Ligzor Velaso Davar Amutta Vyamar Siladura, so since Bezin has that authority to do such a thing, so what does it mean when the Torah says don't add to it? So here one could have thought, okay, the proper response is going to be that's not what Baal Tosef has to do with. Baal Tosef has to do with a person who's doing a mitzvah and he just introduces new elements into it on his own. That's what Baal Tosef is. That's not what the Rambam says. So the Rambam agrees with the Ramban. He's mechadish. There is such a notion of Baal Tosef behora, of being more halacha in a way that violates this iser. But what does it refer to? Shalola hosif al divrei Torah v'lola gromehen. So you cannot add to the body of divrei Torah or subtract from them. Then the Rambam gives you just an example to explain what he means. Ketzad. Harei kasev b'Torah lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo. So the pasuk says you cannot cook a gedi within his mother's milk. Mi piyashvua lamdu shezeh kasev asa levashel v'lecho basar b'chalev. So we interpret this iser to refer not just to basar behema, but also basar chaya, to both domesticated and undomesticated animals. All that is within the parameters of the iser minatorah. That's what the Torah is forbidding here: meat, animal meat. Ava basar ha'of muter b'chala minatorah. But we understand that chicken meat is in fact not included within this iser. That is muter minatorah. It's permissible. So what is the example of Baal Tosef? Says the Rambam, im yavo bezin. The miyas or basar of the yomar shall bechlal agdiv who usher min haTorah. If a bezin were to come along and say, you know what, this iser includes min haTorah, it includes the eating of chicken meat with milk. In that case, says the Rambam, that would be violating Baal Tosef. Harei zeh Moses. That's being Moses. Saying a din deraisa, saying something is a deraisa, belongs among the dinei Torah when it isn't, when it is in fact only a derabanan, that is an iser of Baal Tosef. But the Rambam explains, Amar basar of mutter min haTorah. But if the Bezin then says, no, we're not saying this is asher min haTorah, it's mutter min haTorah. However, the anu nasor aso, the nodi alam shu gzeira, etc. And he explains, gzeira ain't the Moses elo osasti al gatorah v'chein kol tzabayotze. If, however, they make clear this is not a deraisa, this is a derabanan, we're coming along, we're establishing this as gzeira, then that's not Baal Tosef, that's within their authority. The Ravi disagrees, and it's possible the Ravi believes there is no such thing as Baal Tosef Bahara. But in any event, the Rambam clearly does believe there's Baal Tosef Bahara. However, the significant difference, there's a very big difference between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam makes it clear that the idea here is that they cannot add to the corpus of Torah law that which isn't a Torah law. They cannot say that something which is really only a Din Derabanan is a Deraisa. Doing that is being Mosif to the Torah, because you're being Mosif al Divrei Torah, al Dinei Torah. You're saying something belongs among this corpus of Torah law when it isn't. The Ramban, however, is saying even if This is the implication of the Ramban. Even if Bezin comes along and says, we are being mechayiv you to read Megillah, midirabbanan. That in and of itself, already says the Ramban, is a violation of Baal Tosef. Even though there's no claim that this belongs among the Dinei Torah, this is not arguing that this is part of the dinim that the Torah has established for us. That itself already, if it's a mitzvah kadasha, b'fnei atva says the Ramban, even though you're only claiming that it's zirabanan, that already is an iser of Baal Tosef. And that is an astonishing shita that needs to be understood and analyzed, and primarily for two reasons, two issues with it. The first is that the Gemara, from the Gemara on Shabbos, we derive, and most of Shonim think this is the case, that the Torah itself actually vests the authority to do such things with the Bezin. The Gemara asks, in the context of Ner Chanukah, my Mevarich, what is the source? What do you say when you recite the Hablakas Ner Chanukah? What is the formulation of the bracha? Mevarich Asher Kedishanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu L'Hadik Ner Shel Chanukah. The Torah, the person who is lighting, makes a bracha Berachas Mitzvah Asher Kedishanu B'Tzivah V'Tzivanu. The Gemara asks, Ve'Echan Tzivanu? This is not a mitzvah Shel Torah. Where does the Torah command us to light Chanukah candles? Revevi Omer Milos Asur, Revitichem Yomer Shal Vichav Yegecha. So the Gemara cites two psukim, first of which is Los Asur. The Torah explicitly gives the authority to initiate this sort of takana within Bezin, but and it commands us to follow whatever it is that they legislate. That's the pasuk of Apiyator Shir Yerucha. This is in source number 28. Just quickly, right? Apiyator Shir Yerucha Meshpat Yomerlo Los Asel Lachad Asel Los Asur Menadavar Shidich Like Minus Small. So the Torah specifically gives the authority to Bezin to be able to author such takanos, and then charges us with following them. Now, if that's the case, that the Torah specifically vests this authority within the Bezin, within the Rabbanan, so how could it be that exercising that authority, specifically prescribed to them, that that's a violation of Inisur Torah? How can it be that the Torah specifically gives them the authority to do this, and then says, but using that authority, you'd be in violation of Baal Tosef? And this is, in effect, the question, or the argument of both the Michas Chinuch and the Rashba. We'll just take a look quickly. Michas Chinuch, v'hinei kama mitzvah shosifu chazal, kigon ner chanukah, mitzvah sadaim v'chadome, shem dvarim chadashim v'lo osifu b'mitzvah satorah. Nere devadai lo shayach Baal Tosef, ki atorah nasna rishus ha-chachamim v'takin takanos l'fi azman. That's not going to be a violation of Baal Tosef. That's specifically using the authority that the Torah specifically vested in them. Rashba as well, in Rosh Hashanah. B'mesha amdu chachamim v'tignu l'tzarech, ein kan Baal Tosef. D'kvar amra Torah api atorah shirucha. The Torah specifically gives them that authority. Kol l'tzarech bezin gozun mosifin v'rashus b'yadonu mitzvah l'shval d'vrich chachamim l'lo sasar. Ken yirli. So that's one issue. How is it possible to say that the exercise of their legitimate authority the Torah itself gives them is going to be an aver of Baal Tosef? So I think the answer to this is absolutely clear. The Ramban here is Lishitasa. The Ramban here is going with his own opinion that he registers in his Asagos Sefer Mitzvos. I'm not sure if he's a Das Yachid, there are others showing that agreed with him, but mostly it's Tamidim, although not all of them. But the Ramban himself actually does not believe, this is what he makes clear in the Asagos Sefer Mitzvos, he does not believe that the Torah specifically vests the authority of Bezin with legislative authority. The Ramban thinks that Gemara in Shabbos that we just mentioned, that's simply an asmachta. It's not really the basis for their ability to say Asher Kedishanu Tzivah Tzivanu. It's an asmachta ba'alma, simply a homiletic association. In fact, the Torah, when it says Apiyat Torah Sheyerucha and Lo Sasser Min Hadavar Shidachay Yemin Esmol, the Torah is not speaking of their ability to legislate, their authority to introduce new laws. It's speaking specifically of their ability, of their authority as interpreters of Torah, as those charged with saying what the Torah says, what the Torah implies. When they determine that this is what the Torah has in mind here, that this is what the Torah is telling us, that this is the Din Torah based on this pasuk, that is something that the Torah says, you must follow them. It is their interpretation which is authoritative. But it actually does not speak at all to their ability to legislate new law. If they're introducing new law, the Torah doesn't actually address that at all. The Torah just says, follow them when I command you this Torah, here's the Torah, follow it. What does it mean? Follow their interpretation. This is the Ramban, just look at the last line in source number 25. First paragraph. She'ena lava zed lo sasser elba mesha amru b'perushay haTorah, and it gives different ways you can come to interpreting the Torah. And the last line, ki al mashmau shelahem hu mitzav v'nosein lanu haTorah. When Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives us Torah, He gives it to us, and He commands us to follow whatever it is they understand it to mean. But that's all it is. So that the Torah does not itself actually specifically vest such authority within the Rabbanan. It's not to say they don't have it; they do, but it isn't something specifically given to them, delegated to them by the Torah. In which case, at least opens up the possibility for there to be an issue when they let's say initiate a new mitzvah. But the main issue now that I just want to focus on in this Ramban is, all right, so that means that it's not that this isn't a self, you know, it's not incoherent to say this. But what does it mean then, Bal Tosef? What is the Isser Bal Tosef according to the Ramban? What is it the Isser you're adding to something? What? For the Rambam, we understand. It means you're not allowed to add to the corpus of Torah law, to the body of law that's Dvar Torah. Something which doesn't belong there, that's what it means to say that you're over on Bal Tosef. Don't say something's derisive if it isn't. For the Ramban, you're not saying anything is derisive. You're not saying anything belongs to the realm of Dinei Torah, and there's still going to be over if it's a mitzvah chadasha with Ne'atva. So what does it mean? Bal Tosef, what do you have? What can you add to? So I think the simplest thing to have thought is that what this means is you cannot add to the body of mitzvos, not necessarily the corpus of Torah law, but rather simply the list of mitzvos that the Torah gives us. You don't add to that. It doesn't matter of what authorship. It doesn't matter under what authority, on what level the chiyuv is. If it's a new mitzvah chadasha b'fnei atzma, so then you're adding to the list of mitzvos, and that's what Bal Tosef has to do with. That's what I would have said. However, what makes that problematic is the fact that the Ramban actually, in his last comment, if we could just go back for a moment, his last comment on source number 18, so he makes clear that in fact there's another way that a bezin can be over on Bal Tosef. He says, "Masha tignu mishum chachamim mishum geder," and if it's only a measure, a protective measure, an expansion of some mitzvah shel Torah, he goes, "Shinyos larayis v'chayot ben zoi mitzvah min haTorah b'vad sheyeda sheheim mishum hageder hazev einam v'yagash baruch hu b'Torah." Says the Ramban, but that's only if it's clear that this is not one of the Dinei Torah, this is just a Din Derabanan. Meaning that the Ramban seems to have agreed with the Rambam too. The Ramban thinks that there are two ways you can violate Bal Tosef. The one which is, he's mentioned, namely a Chiddush Mitzvah Fnei Atzma, and in addition, also you should know that if a Bezin passes a law that is a Derabanan law, as a Deraisa, that too will be over on Bal Tosef, regardless of whether or not this is a mitzvah chadasha or it's even just a geder, it's just an expansion of a mitzvah shel Torah. If they claim it's a din Torah, that too is deraisa. So the question is just how to understand. Okay, so now what does Ramban understand the mitzvah of Bal Tosef, the Isser Bal Tosef to be? Right, one case you have adding to the list of mitzvahs whether or not it's deraisa derabanan. Then on the other hand, the Ramban also thinks, but even if it's not a new mitzvah, it's a din just within a mitzvah. But if you say that that's deraisa, that also is Bal Tosef. It's very hard to see what is Bal Tosef. What is it? What is Bezin? What is the single notion of being Mosif that Bezin is being prohibited to do here? It's very hard to see what unifies these two very different ideas. So that's something which is, I think, somewhat of a puzzle. I haven't seen anybody discuss it, but I think what we could suggest for the Ramban is that perhaps what Bal Tosef refers to, what Bal Tosef prohibits, is not adding a law to a specific corpus, whether the corpus of Torah law or the corpus of mitzvos that we're bound to follow. Rather, it refers to adding a law in a specific fashion. It forbids legislating in a way that usurps the Torah's commanding authority, that assumes and mimics the legislative capacity of the Torah. And that can be done in one of two ways. One way to arrogate the authority of Torah is to explicitly formulate law in its name. It's to explicitly legislate a law on your own, something that the Torah did not intend, and to say this carries with it the authority of Torah. This is a din Torah. That, by in of itself, would be considered, by claiming the authority of Torah, that would be usurping and arrogating the authority of Torah. But another way to assume the mantle of Torah authority is to author a mitzvah chadasha b'fnei atzma, an entirely new mitzvah. It is only the Torah, as the revealed will of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that has independently binding authority. It is only Torah's dictates that we are bound to follow. Hu tzivah v'yamod, and only who? And only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the Rabbanan issue their own law to facilitate compliance with those mitzvahs, with mitzvahs of Torah, then that's perfectly appropriate. What's really binding in that case is the mitzvahs of Torah. The Rabbanan are just sort of assisting us in the matter. The Rabbanan are just enabling us, facilitating our compliance with those mitzvahs. However, when they author an independent mitzvah, one that doesn't facilitate compliance with any of the existing mitzvahs of Torah, but introduces a completely new norm of their desire, so then they are implicitly usurping Torah authority, because in that case they are implicitly claiming independently binding authority, and that is authority which belongs and which is really of the Torah and the Torah alone. So by commanding us some new mitzvah, which actually is no bearing upon a mitzvah shel Torah, so they're assuming that their will is in fact binding, and that is in essence an improper claim and usurpation of the Torah's authority. So that's That's what the Isser Bal Tosef is. It's when they command in a way in the Torah's under the Torah's authority that they violate Bal Tosef. Yes?
I was going to ask if that squares with the notion of innovation in making a decision, whether something much further in the future, such as
Roswell,
or some other case where there's clearly an innovation as opposed to...
Right.
The example of Prozbul
is subject to Malchokas Rishonim. Some Rishonim think it's actually all that the Hillel did was actually just popularize a notion that was actually in the Torah itself. The Moser Sharasa Lebezin, which is something the Torah itself implies. But let's take the more expansive view of it. Yeah. So that, I mean, that's not that's just determining. Let's say the most expansive view of that is that it's a an Akiras Dover Min HaTorah B'Shei Val Taaseh. Prozbul happens to be an example which needs its own analysis. But they're working within the principles of Torah. So that's an innovation, but that's not an innovation of a new mitzvah. That's an innovation within existing principles, applying existing principles, and also perhaps using the authority given to them of Hefker based in Hefker. So there's a number of different that requires own analysis, but it wouldn't be establishing a new obligation. And it's specifically establishing a new obligation, being bound by their authority, without reference to anything else. And again, principle, whatever the particular principle is, but there's a principle at play, a Torah principle which they're implementing there. Here, the idea is that this is a new mitzvah, something which isn't specifically given to them the ability to do such a thing, and therefore that would constitute kind of an assumption of Torah's authority. Yeah.
According to the Torah, God does a miracle for any one of us. Do we have a mitzvah to say Shevach or thank Him?
So, Minatorah? Yeah. Murky at best, maybe. Right.
Then couldn't you argue that what Megillah essentially is a key of a mitzvah that's already in the Torah?
Right.
And it's just what the Rabbanim are doing, is giving it a framework.
Right. So that is the argument of Daniel HaBavli. It's the Rishon of the time of the Rambam, who was in correspondence with his son, and he argued that. But most Rishonim do not believe that that's the case. The Meiri is the one who thinks that there is a chiyuv, but it's a chiyuv derabanan to do such a thing. In fact, the Gemara says that Nevi'im were the ones who initiated the requirement to say halal in a place where there's a nes. So most don't think that's the case. Daniel Bavli does, and he does based on this Gemara. He thinks that this Gemara is implying he actually gives a makor. I mean, part of the issue is, well, what's the makor for that? So he actually gives a makor, but it's quite an astonishing thing to say. He says that it's Shir Lashem Gog Higoa Goa. That's the makor min haTorah for requirement to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu after receiving a nes. But most Rishonim don't believe that such a norm is really in the Torah. That's not a chiyuv. In which case, it isn't understood to be a chiyuv to respond to a nes with Dibre Shevach. And either way, we're talking here not about a case where it happens the first time you have it, rather a chiyuv ledoros. But the truth is that the later on the Chasam Sofer thought what you're saying as well. But both of those are really outliers, and we'll see in a minute. Yeah.
Why can't you look at this as a derivation from a carbon totem?
Daniel Bavli does do that. He views that, and he views all these things. You can also maybe argue Brichas Hamazon, but as a clear legal binding precedent, it's hard to make that argument that a carbon totem would then lead you to let's say have a chiv in this case of Mikra Megillah. Ledoros. Yeah, Ledoros. What?
Sorry, so number six, the ending part of the
six? Yes. Right.
Isn't that basically what they're saying?
So
God sort of opened up their eyes. They're actually
right. But what the Yerushalmi, I admitted it just because one for space considerations. But they find a pasuk of Ksozos Zikaron B'Sefer that it sort of hinted that there's going to be in a third case of Amalek. It's not really that it doesn't follow the sort of b'chiv that we find in the Bavli. Right, so that's part of this topic. Meaning, what would we say about Hanukkah? So I wanted to proceed to get to the solution to this problem. Yeah.
I'm not sure I got this straight.
Okay.
How would the sheet that handles say Ner Shabbos? The sheet that says you're not allowed to
Right. So
it would say it would say that Ner Shabbos.
Then it's a mitzvah chadasha.
Yeah.
Right. So I think mitzvah Ner Shel Shabbos. So I think it's going to be probably included within the realm of Kavod Shabbos. So the question you asked about Kavod Shabbos. Yeah.
Ner Shabbos would be there's a dinner Shabbos.
Yeah.
Doraisa.
What's the dinner Shabbos deraisa?
Meaning there's an institutional Shabbos.
Yes. Right.
There's an institutional Kavod Shabbos.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where to slot that.
So that's machlokes. That's machlokes.
Machlokes. Yeah. Manifestations of Kavod Shabbos. We're studying Ner Shabbos.
Right.
But if we tried to say you have a mitzvah to light candles on Tuesday for no particular reason, that would be a violation of...
The Ramban is saying yes, that would be a violation
because
of...
Because...
It's a mitzvah chadasha b'fnei atzma. It's not...
B'fnei atzma, that's
right.
Really a critical point.
Right. It's neither facilitating nor is it an expansion of some mitzvah, existing mitzvah shel Torah.
But the last 5 minutes, what I've been hearing is there's an awful lot of wiggle room and what you're calling adding to something that has a dresser in it.
What specifically was the...
The case of Korban Todah, Purim, the suggestions that we're doing something that's already...
Yeah, so Korban Todah is bringing a Korban. I guess you could say if the Rabbanan had said, bring the Korban in this case and that case as well, then that would probably be expanding the Mitzvah Shel Torah. But if you're saying, read Megillah... It's too much of a leap. It's not really. There's an analogy, and I think that's what the Gemara is saying. There's an analogy to something that we have in the Torah, but it could be in no way considered either something which is facilitated to comply with that chiyuv. In other words, you're not saying this is Mikra Megillah that will somehow ensure that we actually do bring the Torah when we're supposed to. Nor is it really just an expansion of saying do that mitzvah in an additional case where the Torah doesn't necessarily say do that then too. So if it had been either of those, then yes, I think the Ramban would have been fine with it. Maybe had you said that the Zachiv would bring a Korban in this case, maybe that could have been viewed as being an expansion. But it isn't. It's reading a new text, which is something which is not, it's not really just an expansion of Torah. It's not ensured to comply with, it's not there to make sure you comply with Torah. In which case, the idea is that it's simply an independent mitzvah.
You kind of said the same thing maybe in already down the book.
See, writing down the beam is in what way? What do you mean?
How is starting with Yeshua?
Yeah.
That's tough because assuming for the moment that the status of every Yeshua was something other than a cloth just lying around.
Right.
Told Desmond said we're canonized.
Right. Right.
How does validating Nach as something kadosh?
Right.
Not a violation.
Well. I'm not sure. I guess I don't see why. What would be a violation of? They're not introducing a new mitzvah, right? They're not saying there's a chiv to do something now. The recognition of its sanctity in the formal technical sense that it's metames yadayim, let's say that it would.
That's an extraneous point. Leave it at the kedushin. Say.
Well, that is the. I mean, I don't know how extraneous it is. That's the halacha which is always pointed to as the nafkamina for something
that's
being within the canon.
That's after the fact.
So I'm saying I'm not sure. Let's say we recognize it as being sanctified. I mean, to what extent? So that has halachic nafkaminas. But
this is something more specific.
So I'm not sure what would the mitzvah be. Yeah.
We're going to vest nach.
Yeah.
We're going to vest nach.
Yeah.
With kedusha.
Right.
Why doesn't somebody say you can't do that? It's malchusik. You're adding
because again, that's not really there's no introduction of a norm or a mitzvah, right? I mean, it's I guess I would say that it's neither there's no din Torah. There's no din Torah, so it wouldn't be let's say batosav on the Rambam's view, and it wouldn't be batosav on the Ramban's view because it's not you're not introducing a new chiyuv. You're not saying there's some mitzvah that everybody has to do something that they didn't have to do beforehand that isn't related to one of the mitzvahs of Torah. We'll get to this a little bit when I address the issue within the context of the Tosafot Rid's opinion. But, okay. I think that this understanding, though, of the Ramban, the idea being that you cannot legislate in a fashion like Torah in the ways that we discussed, I think that could help us explain the response of the Gemara. Rav Moshe Feinstein was very bothered by this. Rav Moshe Feinstein rejected the Ramban. He thought it's not correct to say that this is a problem here, that we're dealing with a bat tosif. And the reason that it couldn't be, says the Moshe Feinstein, is because then what would the answer be? It can't be that this is really something which is forbidden. And then they found some little drasha some little, you know, they say, oh, by analogy to the Tzitzisrayim and Az Yashir, which isn't even a Chiyuv, so that's something that would justify otherwise, something otherwise is really Aser Min HaTorah. So Rav Moshe Feinstein acknowledged that the Chas V'Sofer said, what was mentioned before, namely that it really is a bona fide Kol V'Chomer. It's a Kol V'Chomer on the level of Deraisa, to introduce a Chiyuv Deraisa here to be Mahalel. But that is, as he points out, really an isolated opinion. It doesn't sound like that at all in any of the Rishonim except for Rabbeinu Daniel HaBavli. And again, in part, the Gemara, as understood by most Rishonim, is not even referring to a Chiyuv, a Kal V'Chomer from a Chiyuv. It's referring to a Kal V'Chomer from Az Yashir, which was not a mitzvah that they were accomplishing. So the question becomes, how can a nice little drasha like this, a little remez that you find in the Torah, how can that justify something which is really an Isser Torah? So I think one could suggest, based on what we presented in terms of the Ramban, that perhaps the point is that that's true. If it were the case that there is substantively something which is considered a Tosefes LaTorah, then it would be very hard to argue that unless you have that this is within the parameters of a mitzvah Torah, that would be permitted, because it's not something the Torah commands. It is instead an additional mitzvah. And you're just finding a remez to say, oh, it's analogous to something that Klal Yisrael once did, and that's going to be matir. That would be very hard to argue, as Rav Moshe Feinstein stresses. But if you suggest perhaps that the problem of Al-Tosef is introducing law like the Torah does, right? Introducing law under the authority of Torah. So then perhaps you can argue that the very fact that Beis Din or Rabbanan justified and explained their takana as being consistent with something that we saw, historically speaking, Klal Yisrael clearly felt it was appropriate to be Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a result of Yitzchak Rishayim, so that's what we're doing here. If the very fact that they're justifying it by reference to how it's consistent with historical example and how it's consistent with other things we find in the Torah, that itself, in a certain way, deflates it. It makes it something which isn't really just Hutzi Vaviyamor, that we're just commanding it and you have to follow it because we have binding authority. They're explaining it, they're justifying it, they're saying how it's consistent with the rest of Torah. When the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzaveh shatnez, he doesn't have to explain to us what it has to do with and what else we see to explain the precedent. So when the Rabbanan do that, that means that that is they're deflating their own legislation in the sense it's not now comparable to a mitzvah shel Torah, where the Torah comes along and simply is mitzvah, it's got an explanation or justification, and that itself would then permit it. That would remove it from being considered a sort of an act of just a legislative act, k'ain shel Torah, and therefore would become permissible. So that's just a suggestion. Alternatively, and here I just want to see if we can see most of it outside now. Alternatively, I think that there's a separate way to understand this Gemara, assuming again that the problem, that the chiddush of Mikra Megillah was that it is an entirely new mitzvah. Perhaps the problem wasn't in Isser Baltosef. Baltosef wouldn't apply here for various reasons. You're not claiming anything is Min HaTorah. The question, rather, that the Gemara is dealing with is, why is it this within the scope of the Rabbanim, of the rabbinic authority? Why is it that they can do such a thing? Why is it that it's binding? The Torah, which prescribes the authority of the Rabbanan, specifically says, "Keep alei mincha davar mishpat beidam ledam beidin ledin beinega lenega devi rovos v'sharecha." It prescribes it with respect to a certain scope. It gives it certain parameters. This is where their word carries authority. When it comes to davar mishpat beidam ledam, it has a certain limited scope. It's broad, but it does exist. There is a limit. And the Rambam consistently stresses this whenever he discusses the mitzvah of following Beis Din's dictate, whether it be on the Deraisa level of what they're interpreting the Torah to be saying, or their own introduction, their own legislation. It has to be, it's within. When he says their own legislation, he always says it's within a certain realm. Let's take a look at the Rambam Hilchos Mamrim. When he discusses Apia Torah Sheyerucha, Elu Atakanos Vagzeros Vamenhagos Sheyoru Behem LaRabim Kedei Lechazek Hadas Ultaken Olam. This is something which they say, Kedei Lechazek Hadas, and this is consistent with what the Rambam said before. With the Rambam says in Sefer Mitzvos, Atzivu Shenitzavanu Lishmoa LeBeis Din HaGadol Lenhog Apiyem Bechol Asher Yitzavu BeInyanei Asur Mutter. Things that have to do with religious law, things that have to do with religion, broadly speaking. And he explains when it comes to the Takanos, right? Odavar she'eskimo alav kedei ligdor pirtza, o behatein le'ez, that's referring to gzeros, right? Ligdor pirtza, to ensure compliance with Dinei Torah. O behatein le'ez matzav shehu, mima she'nir'ed lahem nachon, v'sheyesh bo chizuk la'Torah, something that reinforces Torah. So that's the scope of their mandate. And so what we could argue is that when it comes to Zeros, Takanos, those that are expansions, those are, that are simply facilitating compliance with Mitzvah Shel Torah, when it comes to those, then it's quite obvious. It's self-evident that they have that authority. That's something clearly within their purview. But when it came to a Mitzvah Chadash B'Ifnei Atzma, what was up about it was, it's not entirely clear in what way does this exist within their authority. In what way can they just impose a new Mitzvah? Not one which is self-evidently facilitating some mitzvah shel Torah, some din. So that's the question of Gemara. And the truth is, I think that this is exactly parallel to a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara presents the Takana Riochav Nedzakai, that we take lulav all days of Sukkah, not just the first day Minat Torah, Zecher leMikdash, because in Mikdash there's a mitzvah Minat Torah to take lulav all 7 days, or all equivalent for us of all 8 days of Sukkah. So the Mishnah says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was mitaking the Takana that we should all take lulav begvulin outside of Mikdash all the days, zecher leMikdash, as a remembrance of the Mikdash. So the Gemara has a question which is seemingly innocuous but quite powerful. Gemara says Minalon davdina zecher leMikdash. What was Rabbi Yochanan's source in doing that? Where did we get it from that avdinan zecher leMikdash? This is a value. What was the question? Did he have? Was there some issur that he was? Was there some problem here? So Gemara is simply inquiring, why is it that, where do we identify this as being a religious desideratum? How do we know that this is something of religious value? What is the purpose of this in terms of being mechazek hadas? And the Gemara responds that he got it from a pasuk that says, Doresh Sion hi Doresh Ein La, that there's an idea of being Doresh Sion, of anticipating Sion, and therefore he saw fit to be mitakin the Takana. So perhaps what the Gemara is saying is, this is the first time, Hosifo Mashiach Torah, that it wasn't self-evidently a Takana within the realm of Chizuk Das, and they wanted to know. The Gemara is saying, my Darish, and why is it then? What was the value that they perceived? And the answer was, they perceived that this was something that was warranted as a proper response to being saved from a Gadosh Baruch Hu. And this is something that the Rambam, in the end of Minyan HaMitzvos HaKatzar, which we'll get to, I guess, in a minute also, but he just mentions that this, I think, is his take on this Kal V'chomer. Shenavim im bezin tiknu v'tzivu lukras ma'gila bo nasa. All this is something which was initially instantiated in the time of Az Yashir, and this is the eternal value of the Torah that the Rabbanu were aiming for. Etc. The idea being that this is, they're just identifying the way in which this is within their authority, because it has this value, this idea of being Meshabeach Kadosh Baruch Hu, something which the Torah clearly prioritizes, clearly is as part of our tradition, and therefore it's within the Rabbanan's authority to initiate. That's an alternative suggestion. That's in terms of the first possibility. I don't know if we'll get to all of it now. But the other suggestions as to what the Torah, what the Gemara has in mind when it says that it is Osaf HaMashakas of the Torah, what was the problem standing before them? So now, relating just to the suggestion of the Yerushalmi, it seems that the issue was Nevua, that it was Chiddush Hanavi. So, what would be the problem then? So here, I think you can consider two possibilities. The first is an old friend, Baal Tosef. But here, what we'll say is that it's Baal Tosef, but not because it's an independent mitzvah b'ifnei atzma, but specifically because it's coming Ayidei Hanavi. When it's the Rabbanan saying something, so then there will be no problem about Tosef, as so long as they're not claiming that this is Doraisa. But a Navi, for Navi, perhaps that isn't true. And here I think I'm being medayak this from the Rambam. I think it's not over diuk. I think I'm correct. But if you take a look at the Rambam addresses the Yisr of Baal Tosef in one other place. This is Hakdama to Sefer Mada, the Hakdama to Mishnah Torah, really. At the end of his summary of the mitzvot that he had listed in Sefer Mitzvot, he has a quick bullet point summary of all of them. And at the end of which he says, these are the 613 mitzvot. And there are mitzvot that were introduced after Sinai. And we are chayev to follow them. We're bound by them, and then he addresses. And why is it not a problem about Tosef? So he explains. So what is about Tosef? What does the Torah say? What does the Torah asker us to be mosif to Torah? What does that mean? Shelo yeh navi rishay lechadish davar velomar shehakadosh baruch hu tzivahu b'mitzvah zo lo sivu l'mitzvah z'Torah olachaser achas mi'ele hashosh shesh meos v'shosh zei mitzvos. But if imosivu based in Navi sheyebos asman mitzvah derech takano derech hora derech zera ein zot tosefes. So at this point, I would say, okay, that's something parallel, I guess, to what you find in Hilchos Mamrim. As long as you don't claim it's shel Torah, that's what it sounds like at this point. If you say derech takano, meaning it's not a din Torah. But then you find, I think, in the next line that the Rambam has something else in mind. Shari lo amru shakadosh baruch hu tziva lasos erev olikros hamegillah ba'onasa. They're not saying Hashem baruch hu commanded us to read Megillah. V'ilu amru kein hayom osivin al Torah. And had they said that, had a Navi came along and said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to read this Megillah, he's commanding us to read this Megillah, that would have been an Isser of Baal Tosef. And then here it seems, I think, Rambam doesn't say, but only if he claims that this is a Din Shel Torah. He's just saying, if the Navi says, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding us to read Megillah, that itself would be an Avera of Baal Tosef. When it comes to the Bezin, they can only be over, they're only over if they claim this is a Din Shel Torah. When it comes to a Navi, I think the Rambam is saying, even if he just says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded this, and we're bound to follow it, that would also be Baal Tosef. And I think the idea, in terms of just what Baal Tosef implies, I think the idea is, it doesn't mean adding to the corpus of Torah law. That's just one element of it. That's just an instance of the broader issue, which is, you cannot attribute Sivuyim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he did not command. The body that we're referring to is Sivuyim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's actually the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Asher Enochi Mitzaveh Eschem. Right? Don't be motzev on that which Asher Niochi Mitzaveschem. Don't attribute something command. Don't attribute a command or a prohibition to me that I did not issue. That's what Baal Tosef is, and there are two ways that one can do that. One could say that this is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was commanded in the Torah. That this is implied by in the revelation at Sinai when he says Lo Sof Hashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo. That refers to chicken. So then you're attributing something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu they didn't command. But it also can work if you say. It can also be that if you say. Not at Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't command us at Sinai. Post-Sinai, he revealed himself to me and he said, and I'm saying, B'Shem Hashem, that we are all mitzuvim to read Megillah. You're not claiming it's a din d'oraisa, but that isn't the relevant point. The point is, you're claiming it's Sivoy B'Shem Hashem. And that's what a Navi is. A Navi is, as the Pasuk always speaks of, a Navi is somebody who's Medaber B'Shmi. So claiming that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzaveh, a mitzvah that he wasn't, that is Baal Tosef. The Navi, even if he just simply introduces a mitzvah, B'Shem Hashem, that would be considered a Veir Baal Tosef without any argument that it's going to be binding on a deraisa level. And I think that the answer to the question then, if this is how we're interpreting the Gemara, so I think what we would say is that the Gemara is addressing precisely the issue that we start out with Nevuah, that if the pasuk is, it looks like a Safa Shel Torah. It looks like this is a mitzvah now, which is being introduced via Nevuah in the pasuk. Alkein Hayam Meila Niskar Menasim. Can a Navi really be Mechayev us? So the Gemara is explaining that it isn't in fact a Safa. That in fact it isn't a Sivoy introduced via Nevuah, but rather a Dindur Rabbanan. This is something which they were Doresh. This is something that Rabbanan explained. That no. This isn't. You're not bound to this because the Navi says. Niskar Menasim. You're bound to this because we saw fit to be mitakein the Chiyuv Mikra Megillah. Why? Because it's analogous to Az Yashir. We have a requirement to be Meshabeach and Mehal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the idea is that that in fact the Gemara is clarifying it isn't based on the Nevuah. It's simply based on a Takana. Had it been based on a Nevuah, it wouldn't have mattered that it doesn't. There's no claim Shel Torah. It would have been a violation of Baal Tosef. Very quickly, just to add that's one possibility. I think there's another possibility. In terms of the problem with Nevuah, and I think it's, in a sense, a simpler one, the simpler way to understand Ein Navi Yishar L'Chadash Dover Me'ata is not that this is a problem in potentially Baal Tosef. The Chiddush isn't a violation of Baal Tosef. I think the Rambam and the Ramban somewhat are Mechudash here. But rather the principle is something which, not a prohibition, but rather it's a procedural issue. It's a procedural issue in terms of the proper establishment of Halacha, which disqualifies anything of divine origin from having any role whatsoever in the kviyas halacha, in the establishment of halacha. This is the principle of lo b'shamayim. This is what the Gemara introduces as the basis for the fact that we don't listen to a baskol. The Gemara says, "My time, my lo b'shamayim. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyahu shekvar nasna Torah, shekvar nitna Torah me'ar Sinai. Ein anu mashkichim b'baskol. It's now in our hands. It's already been delivered to us, and from now on." We pay no heed whatsoever to that message which we're receiving. The Baskol is the famous case of Rabbi Lazar and the Rabbanan, Tanur Shachnai. We don't pay any attention to the Baskol. It's now in our hands. We have to reach things that are within our own perspective, based on our own intuition and understandings. That's the principle, I believe, that we could argue, is the basis for the principle of Ein Navi Yishar L'Chadash Dover Me'ata. It's not that if the Navi is Mechadish, he's violating Baal Tosef. It's that he has no authority. He has no, what he says is irrelevant because nevuah is irrelevant. That's in fact the principle. That same principle, Rosh Hashanah, really is what undergirds the principle of Ein Abishurah Chazavar Me'ata. And this, I think, is actually just an explicit Gemara in Tmura. The fact that it's a procedural problem and not an Isra Bal Tosef, I think, is clearly what emerges there. The Gemara in source number 40, if you just take a look, I guess I'll say it outside. The Gemara presents that there was a collective forgetting of thousands of dinim that Moshe Rabbeinu had given to us. Halachos of Moshe B'Sinai, and we just simply forgot them, just the trauma of having our, you know, having Moshe Rabbeinu pass away and losing that link. It carried with it enormous repercussions. We couldn't remember now many of the dinim that he taught us. And the Gemara says that Klal Yisrael wanted to recover these dinim. So what did they do? They went to Yeshua, who's now the Navi. They said, Sha'al, ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu what he told us. This is now something which has already been revealed. Ask him. And Yeshua responded, Lo b'shamayim, you can't do that. And then the Gemara presents, they also later asked Shmuel, and he responded, Ein Navi Rishad HaKadosh Davar Me'ata. Precisely in this context where the issue is clearly not that there's a Tosefes. This is not introducing anything new at all. This is something that, in fact, was already revealed to us. This is the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually even delivered to us already. All we want to do is recover what was already given. It's clear that this would not have been a problem about Tosef. Right? This is something that was part of Torah. It's just the procedural problem. We cannot arrive at anything via Nevuah anymore. We now are left. We're left on our own. We have to arrive at these things with our own capacity. And therefore, the Gemara says that's a problem of Lo B'Shamayim. That's a problem of Ein Navi Rishai L'Chadosh Davar Me'ata. So one could suggest that the problem here in the Gemara, the problem with Mikra Megillah, again assuming that it was B'tzivuah Yakash Baruch, was the Gemara thought that whether the mitzvah is based on the pasuk written to Ruach HaKodesh, or even perhaps it was merely a Takanas Bezin inspired and acting upon Ruach HaKodesh, informing them that this was an appropriate thing to do. Either way, that involves the invalid use of Nevuah in the establishment of Halacha. Even if Bezin was ultimately the normative implement and not the Tzivu HaNavi, but nonetheless, it cannot be Metakin at the behest, so to speak, of Ruach HaKodesh. However, and this is what the Gemara is responding, that only disqualifies such a Takana if it were only justifiable based on Ruach HaKodesh. If they have Ruach HaKodesh, but they can then explain why they, using their own best human lights and their own intuition and logic, why they see this as appropriate to be Metakin, so then that would be valid. If they can arrive independently at the logic of the Takana, the fact that they were initially inspired to do so by Ruach HaKodesh would not be disqualifying. And this is what the Gemara is explaining, my Darish. They had this Nevuah, this Ruach HaKodesh, this is an appropriate thing to do, to establish Mikra Megillah. But my Darish, they couldn't have just acted upon it that way. That would have been a problem, a procedural problem, not Balthosev. That would be improper to implement Halacha based on Ruach HaKodesh. So the Gemara explains, but they could understand it. They explained that they arrived at their own, using their own reason, they saw that this was in fact an appropriate thing to do, to fix mitzvah, to establish Mikra Megillah as a Zecher L'Nes L'Doros. Alright, so that's, we had one last thing which is not in the sheets, but was just how to understand the issue according to those who thought that the problem was the placing of an additional text. I'm on a par with Chumash Torah, but I guess I've gone over the prescribed extended time period, so Okaz on the Mohed. Thank you.